It was the first day of school, and I was already sweating in my seat. As if it wasn't torture enough to sit through transfer orientation, the classroom was as hot as an oven. Figures I move farther south of the Mason-Dixon line and the air conditioner decides to crap out. The senior class president was fanning himself with a manila folder in the front of the classroom. He was about to introduce us to our buddies, student government leaders and athletes, clearly, who would be showing us around the school. I scanned the lineup. Not the cute one. Anyone but the cute one. The one all the way at the end of the row. The one with the messy blonde hair and nice arms and golden skin. The one I was too scared to call cute, even in my head, even though I just did. Right. It should have been anyone but the one on the far right, who will make me feel even more sweaty and uncomfortable than I already am. The other three senior transfers were all girls, and judging from how they were ogling this dude, they definitely wanted him as their buddy. I just don't get all the hype around pretty people. I get why they exist, for meet-cute purposes, for magazine spreads, but they're just so stressful to be around. Who needs that kind of stress in their life? Not me. Not him. Anyone but him. I imagined the sorting hat whispering in my ear, "Not him, eh? Are you sure?" "Yes, you pretentious hat, I'm sure. If you can save Harry from Slytherin, you can save me from having to spend the next hour with this annoyingly handsome jock." Not him, not him, not him. The sorting hat did not have my back. His name was Jackson Preacher. He looked right through me when the president said our names together. When we met, his hello was like walking straight into a brick wall. While everyone else's buddies enthusiastically asked them questions, Jackson and I just stood there with our hands in our pockets. He was just as stoic as he took me to my locker, walked me through the main hall, and past all the classrooms. "This is the library," Jackson mumbled when we passed the library, which was marked in big bold letters, "Library." He didn't really have much to say, and I didn't really have much to ask. What did it matter anyway? 1 year at this new high school and I'd be out. That was half the reason why I didn't hate the idea of moving. My dad's new job came with a higher salary, which meant we could afford out-of-state tuition for college. In a year, I'd be somewhere far away. In a year, I could start being myself. That had always been my dream. It was the only reason I didn't fight as hard as my sister about the move. At the end of the tour, when I assumed Jackson would resume his God-given right as a jock to ignore me for the rest of the school year, he said, "Well, that's it. Let me know if you ever need a hand with anything around here." I cocked my head back. Seriously? He didn't strike me as the hand-offering type. Is that a real offer? Jackson looked off to the side. He shrugged. "They make you say that, don't they?" I said. He nodded. "It's part of the script." "Gotta follow the script," I said. And out of nowhere, Jackson let out one of those snort laughs. Then we kind of widened our eyes and looked away, because this conversation wasn't part of our script. Jackson combed a hand through his wavy mop of hair. Some days his hair was dirty blonde. Some days it was brown. I remember that day it was blonde. I asked if he thought I would fit in at this new school. Jackson didn't really answer. He was staring at the parking lot behind me. I had my eyes glued to the school entrance behind him. Later, we would joke that that first day we met, we were actually competing in a very serious unstaring contest. "It's fine," I said after a long silence. "I don't really fit in anywhere." Jackson smiled. And I cheated at our contest. I snuck a glance at him. Something in him knew. He had found himself another outsider. "We fit like gloves, Jackson Preacher and me. We fit like pasta and wine, football and Bud Light." I was the pasta and wine. He was the football and Bud Light. That first semester, Jackson and I existed in completely different worlds. As much as we crossed paths, we never really talked. He flew in the stratosphere of athletes and popular kids. I flew under the radar. I just didn't see the point in going through the social acrobatics of making friends when I was only going to be at that school for 8 months. Still, we kept playing our unstaring contest in the halls whenever we passed each other. There was something lingering from that tour, and it was going to take a seismic shift to get it out. That seismic shift happened right before Thanksgiving, when our football team lost the last game of the season. I was driving home after the game and stopped by 7-Eleven to pick up some salt and vinegar chips when I found Jackson sulking in the parking lot. I thought about just walking inside like I didn't see him, but he had dirt marks all over his face, a dried-up river of tears running down his cheeks. He was vulnerable. So I said, "Need a hand?" He looked up and saw it was me, and he laughed. "I'm supposed to be giving you a hand," Jackson said, wiping a tear from his face. "Screw the script," I said. He looked at me differently after those words slid out of my mouth. I don't know what invisible hand gave me the push I needed that night to respond so smoothly, but it will forever go down as the best and worst decision I made in high school. I comforted Jackson that night in the grassy corner of the parking lot. I remember his hair was dark and sweaty. I don't know how long we were talking, only that I got to see Jackson in all his multitudes. I saw him, blonde and brown-haired, stoic and sensitive. A guy who plays football, but who maybe, just maybe, plays for the other team too. When I walked him over to his car, he put a hand on my shoulder and squeezed tight.
"Remember that thing you were telling me when we met?" he said softly. "About not really fitting in anywhere?"
My eyes grew wide. I stared right at him, his green eyes. And he was staring back at me.
"I feel that way too."
And right there, the world shifted. I wish I could just slip back into that little crack in the universe, that guilt-free space where I wanted Jackson Preacher's touch and nothing else.